Again, we welcome you to the meeting tonight. Thank you for coming. And we trust that if you are here tonight and you are not saved, that means you've never had a time when you were born again, is one thing the scripture says, or you don't have a real, genuine relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, this is exactly the reason for this meeting tonight. Now, we're not here professing to be professional preachers. I think I can speak for my brother as well, but we just simply would like, with the help of God, to present to you a message from the Bible of how you can know that when you leave this world, that you will be in God's heaven. I don't know what kind of thoughts you have about the future, like when people die. You know, there's all kinds of different opinions, but really when it comes to spiritual wisdom, spiritual knowledge, there's only really one source of information that we can truly rely on is the Word of God. You know, people will spend a lot of time trying to discredit the Bible, trying to say it's just a book of contradictions, you know, put together by a bunch of men. Usually the first question I ask people that tell me that is, have you ever read it for yourself? You know, most of the time, no, I haven't read it. But really, that's what we want to base our remarks on tonight, is on the Word of God. And we trust tonight that you will understand, even as the songs that we are singing, that really we are presenting a gospel, a message that is to the whosoever, really is to whoever avails himself or whoever will receive it for themselves. So before we open the scriptures together, just welcome you to the meetings of the week. There's a youth group tomorrow night at 6:30, Thursday night at 7:30, prayer meeting, Bible study, and then next Sunday, there's we that are in fellowship here, we get together to remember the Lord, according to Scripture, 10 a.m., and then the presenting of the gospel again next Sunday evening at 7 o'clock, and you'll be welcome to attend all those meetings, and they are certainly in the will of the Lord. So we'll just take a moment and pray. Our Father, we're thankful for our Savior. We're thankful for this message that does go to the whosoever. There's not a single person in this world that this message does not apply to. So we just ask for help tonight to be very plain, to be very simple. And most of all, we just ask that whoever's here with a longing heart to be saved, that they just simply understand not anything that we, me or Dale, would say, but really what the Word of God says, because that's what is important. We just ask for help in the Savior's name. Amen. Let me go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Now really, when it comes to the book, the Apostle Paul wrote a book to his friends, to fellow Christians that met in a church similar to this, a local assembly. And he's really writing a book, an epistle, a letter to them. And really, if you go through the book of the Romans, we can really understand that the book of the Romans really is, in a sense, almost a blueprint of what the gospel is. And it's interesting that in this section that Paul really is talking about his own people. Paul was a Jew. And in this section, he's really, he talks really at verse in the first of this chapter that his desire is that Israel would be saved. We know in a future day that God is going to deal miraculously with that nation. But let's take our focus off of that for tonight and really what I want to think about is you. That's really what this meeting is about. It's not about the person sitting beside you. It's not about the criminal that is doing hard long time in some prison somewhere. But really tonight, the gospel message is about you and God. And that's really the idea of that word, whosoever. You know, we can sing that, we can say that, but if it's simply just the whosoever, but I don't bring it down to apply to me, this message will do you no good. So here is the Apostle Paul as he's writing, and we're going to break in at verse 11. So Paul's writing, he says, "For the Scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Another translation says, "Anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced." Verse 12, "For there is no difference, there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." Verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, doesn't say might be saved or hope to be saved, it says will be saved. I'm going to read a little further, but I just want to stop for a second. And you know, sometimes maybe we're guilty of complicating this grand, glorious message of the gospel. I want to say right off the bat that salvation is not a process. Salvation is not some sort of institution of man. Salvation is not religion. Salvation is not in the church. Salvation is not in this building. And salvation is not in baptism. Salvation is in a person. And Paul, he's saying that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Mark is smiling back there because that's exactly what he realized 3 years ago. That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Mark just accepted that for himself. And Mark knows tonight that he is saved. Why? He just simply listened to the word of God. I want to ask you tonight, what does this message mean to you? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, and Paul, he's really anticipating some questions that may be asked. He says in verse 14, well, how then shall they call on him whom they have not heard, or whom they have not believed, sorry? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And again, we're not proclaiming to be preachers, but really we're just simply trying to present to you the word of God. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except to be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. In verse 16 he says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for even Isaiah, and Isaiah, he's referring back to Isaiah 53. And he says, Isaiah saith, Lord, who has believed a report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then he asks another question, but I say, have they not heard? And Paul says, yes, verily, their sound, this is a quotation from Psalm chapter 19. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. So really tonight what Paul is saying, that really is the importance of presenting and preaching the gospel, not simply what my brother Dale and I are trying to do. Maybe you were here tonight and maybe you were confused. Maybe you've come to many meetings before. Maybe you were sitting here tonight and maybe you were confused as to the message of the gospel. Maybe we sometimes can be guilty of complicating. Well, it's not complicated. And I want to tell you, I want to be very clear to you tonight that God is not, you know sometimes we have a dog and sometimes we like to tease him a little bit and we'll sometimes put a treat out and keep moving or hold it up and see how far he can leap up. Well, God is not like that with us. God doesn't hold that treat out to you and then keeps pulling it back. No, that's not the God of the Bible. Really, when it comes to why you are not saved, the problem is with you. Again, Isaiah, he writes words in his prophecy. He says, God's arm is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear. What did he say? Your sins have separated between you and God. Maybe it could be tonight that there's something that you are holding between you and God. I'm not here. I can't read your mind. I can't read your heart, but God can. But tonight, if you are not saved, the issue is not on God's part. God's desire is that every single person be saved, and that's what we have read tonight. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The verse is posted in the Bible. I was going to read it, but it is posted right there. It was spoken on this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, again, there's that word, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Really, it's not complicated. It's very, very simple. God does not make this message hard to understand. Now, David, he's preaching tonight in Summerside, but he was only 6 years old. And as a boy of six, he came to understand through Romans 5 and 6, the same verse that I was saved through, that it was simply that we were the sinner. It says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly, and we just simply understood, both David and I, and there's others in this room tonight, that just simply understood that we were the ungodly sinner, but the Bible said, the same Bible that says we are ungodly sinners also says that Jesus died for me. I was 10, David was 6. My brother-in-law was, Trent, he was quite young as well, and we just simply accepted just at face value. I don't know, you know, there's people here, and there's people that I trust a lot, and I think people that know me, I think I'm a trustworthy person. If I were to tell you something, if I were to tell you that I'm going to meet you tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock at Tim Hortons, and I'll buy you a coffee, I think most people would just take me at my word. And you're probably there at Tim Hortons, and I'd buy you a coffee. How much more God that cannot fail? There could be something happen. Maybe I get delayed, or something comes up that I can't make it. But God cannot lie. God cannot not keep his promise. God will always be faithful. And when God says, whosoever shall call upon me will be saved, God just simply will honor what he says. But just to go back up a little bit here, and the first thing that we read in verse 12, it says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. You know, Paul is writing about his own people, and really the Jews, they were God's chosen earthly people, and the Old Testament really is all wrapped up in God's dealing with the nation of Israel. And they were very, very privileged. But because of that privilege, and because really they got thinking about more about themselves than about the God that had really chosen them as people, what happened is they got pride. They got prideful. They got arrogant. Really, the Jews, they almost thought that they were just a little better than everybody else. You know, maybe you were here tonight, and maybe you were born in a Christian home, and maybe you think, well, I'm just a little bit better than those people that I went to school with. No, I've not gotten into the sins that all my school friends have gotten into. And it's quite easy for us to maybe just get a little bit cocky, a little bit arrogant. But Paul says there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Paul, earlier in this book, he makes another statement. He says the same thing. There's no difference. Then he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And really, just for a moment, I just really want to impress upon your heart tonight that you have a problem that is between you and God, and that is your sin. And I'm not standing here because I'm a couple feet above you that all of a sudden I think that I am better than you. I have sinned on my own. And everybody that's sitting here in the meeting tonight, we all freely can admit that, yes, we have sinned against God. And that is the big problem. You know, I was just listening as I was driving back from work, and a good brother from across the ocean, he was really presenting to, as he was speaking, really what the gospel is. And he really impressed really the importance of preaching sin, because it's not something that is popular today. You know, we are to speak some sort of a goodwill message and talk all about love, and we're all going to get along, and maybe give out some different treats and whatever. So, you know, we could probably fill the building, fill the hall. Really tonight, as good as the message of the gospel is, and it is, that's really what the gospel means, is good news. But really when it comes to good news, does not the good news shine so much brighter when it's against a dark background? You know, if you were, I hope nobody here does, but if someone here was to have an appointment with the doctor and be told you have cancer, a terrible thing to have. You know, it's come close to home in the past couple of years, but it's a terrible diagnosis. But at the same time, against that dark background, if there was a cure that was presented to you to cure that disease, that message would come so much brighter, would it not? And really, when it comes to the dark background of our sin, then it is dark. And again, going back to what we have really read there, there's no difference. And again, we can look at the drug addict, and we can look at the murderer, and people that commit terrible crimes against fellow human beings. And it's easier for us to just kind of look down our nose, well, I'm not as bad as those people. Just like the two men that we can read about in Luke chapter 18, the Lord talked about two people that were going to the temple. One, he was a religious Pharisee, and a man he thought he was something else. He said, well, I give 10% of all my paycheck and everything that I own, and I pray, and I go to church, and I'm a very good person, and I'm not like this other guy. Who was the other guy? He's a publican. He really, in the eyes of the Jews, number one, they were sinners because they were tax collectors, and I think every one of us don't like having to pay taxes, but on top of that, not only did they have to pay taxes to the Roman government, those tax collectors were often Jews that were hired by the Romans to collect the taxes, so they were viewed as really traitors. And they also had a reputation of being crooked, where if you owed $10, they would say you owe $20, and they would take 20 for themselves, or 10 for themselves, and give 10 to the government, and they often became very rich, but again, they were considered the lowest of the low. They were sinners. They were terrible. They were yucky. And that's what this Pharisee said. Not like this guy. And he stood up there as close to the altar as he could get, and, oh God, look at me. Look how wonderful I am. In Scripture, the Lord Jesus, he actually says he prayed thus with himself. You know, I want to tell you tonight, I want to be very blunt with you. If you were just simply going to present to God how good you are, and how great you are, and how awesome of a person that you think you are, you're going to end up in hell. I want to be very blunt. I don't mean to be harsh, but if you take that attitude, the Lord Jesus himself said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And that's really what it's hard for us to, as the Newfies say, it's hard for us to take aboard, isn't it? We do not like to have to look in the mirror sometimes, and maybe we've been doing a greasy, dirty job, and there's grease in your face, and if you're like me, the hair keeps falling out all the time, and you know, sometimes we don't like the way we look in the mirror, do we? And when it comes to God's mirror, if we're honest with ourselves and we're honest with God, this book really doesn't paint us in a very good picture by ourselves, the way we are. So again, the dark background of our sin, but that's where the light of the glorious gospel shines in. Against such a dark and terrible background, really the consequences in the end of our sin is death. And again, Paul says that in Romans 6 and 23, and I see Luke back there. This is the verse that he appreciates, because he realized that even though the wages of sin was death, but he understood that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And again, going back to the verse that I want to emphasize tonight, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's what he said. And again, there's no difference. And it says again, the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him. Doesn't matter if you were born on PEI, if you were born in the Philippines, if you were born somewhere else, some other part of the world, the same God is rich unto all. For why? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So again, as Paul continues and he says, really, how can they hear? How can they believe on who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And again, we're not here tonight proclaiming to be preachers, but we simply have a message for you. Really, the idea of a preacher back in those days, of course, it was the days before, you know, Facebook and X and, you know, the radio and cell phones and all those different things. So what would happen if there was an important message to be spread out? There was really professional preachers, really. There were heralds. That's really the idea. They simply would go throughout the community, through the cities, and they would herald out. They would call out the message that needed to be proclaimed. And that's simply what we're trying to do tonight. We are simply trying to proclaim to you the message from God. And again, back to the verse that I want to leave with you tonight. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And again, the word saved, it's not a complicated word. You know, when it comes to being saved, if you're not drowning, you don't need to be saved. If you are not trapped inside a burning building, you don't need to be saved. But if you are in those circumstances, you absolutely would understand that I'm drowning, I need to be saved. And again, there's a story in the Bible about Peter as him and his friends were out on the boat, and It was storming, the boat was rocking, and all of a sudden they seen somebody walking on the water, and it was the Lord Jesus himself. And there is, they thought at first he was a ghost, but when they realized that this was the Lord Jesus, and he was actually walking not on ice, he was walking on the water, on the waves. So Peter calls out and said, "Lord, if it's you, invite me to come to you walking on the water." And the Lord just simply said, "Come." You can read this Bible, it's in the Bible, in the Gospels. I don't know about you, is that I would really struggle to step out of the boat in a storm. I struggle to step out of the boat expecting to walk on calm seas, but this was a very, very fierce storm. But Peter simply took the Lord at his word. Peter did walk in the water, but then he started to focus on the storm and the waves, and the Bible tells us he started to sink. And what did Peter do? Did Peter say, "Well, I better get religious here. I better turn over a new leaf"? No, that's not what Peter did. Peter just simply cried out, "Lord, save me." So what did the Lord do? Go to church? Be a better person? Give up smoking? Give up drinking? Give up swearing? No, that's not what the Lord said. The Lord just simply reached and grabbed Peter and saved him. Tonight we are not here preaching that you need to change your life. Now, we will be honest that salvation will change your life. Salvation does make a change because it is a real thing, and I will tell you from the Bible and from other experience and those of us that are saved, salvation does bring a real change. But we are not here tonight preaching change. You know, it's good to give up bad habits. It's good to stop doing bad things, but they won't get you any closer to God's heaven. And that's what Paul is saying here. How will they hear without a preacher? And then it says, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel." Now, I don't know about you, but there's nothing really overly attractive about feet. That's why we wear shoes and we wear stuff to cover them, because feet are kind of yucky, right? They're kind of nasty things. But the Lord Jesus said, you know, Paul is saying through the Holy Spirit that how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. And again, it's nothing to do with us. We're just simply humans. We're simply sinners that have been saved by grace, but yet we are presenting to you a message. A message that comes from the very heart of God. And if the Lord Jesus was to stand upon this pulpit, he would say the exact same thing. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it talks here a little bit, you know, have they not heard? Really, as Paul is referring back to Psalm chapter 19, and there as you read it through, and you'll really, what it's telling us, that the very creation itself speaks of the Creator. So as you look up into the sky, and you see the stars, and you see the moon, and you in the daytime you see the sun, as you look around, it just really speaks of the glory of the Creator. But again, going back to the early part of this book that we have read, what happened is that often man forgets about the Creator and starts to worship the creation. Really, that's what Paul is trying to emphasize, is really to direct them back away from the creation, as beautiful as it is. But really, the idea is that looking at the creation, we need to think and we need to stop. And just like the wisest man that ever lived, he said, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth." Tonight, as I take my seat and as Dale closes the meeting, I want to ask you again, what are you going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you here tonight thinking that somehow I'm going to figure this out on my own and I'm going to figure out how I can somehow attain salvation? Again, going back to Peter's example, you think if Peter would have flailed around a little bit more and maybe tread water for a while, that somehow he'd be able to scratch himself back in the boat? Never. Do you think that if you were literally about to go down in the last wave and you were drowning, that somehow that you could save yourself? It's impossible for you to save yourself. But we are here tonight presenting you with somebody who can. The Lord Jesus Christ. He came into the world, born 2,000 years ago. We just came through Christmas a few months ago. Next weekend, we will remember what a very important event on Friday. Almost 2,000 years ago, they took him outside of Jerusalem to a place of a skull, to Calvary, to Golgotha. They nailed him to a cross. They spit in his face. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They did everything they could think of. They so terribly abused the Son of God. And to think that while they were nailing him by his hands, I gave my finger a little cut and it hurts a lot, but the other day, I was just thinking, they drove spikes through this, through here, through his feet. And it was for you. Is that the end of the story? On Good Friday, are we just simply going to remember the Son of God who was a good teacher and he was just simply a martyr and that was the end? No, I'm so thankful for the Sunday. On the third day, the Bible says that he rose again. And tonight, he is willing and he is able to save. And just as we have read and as I have emphasized several times tonight, whoever will, shall call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says it. Don't take it just because I say it. It's from the Word of God. It's from God himself. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Trust him tonight and you will never regret it.